We were speaking about how Jesus came and he died in our placement, and he brought healing to our bodies. And the Word of God says that he sent his word to us. To what? He sent his word and he healed us. Amen. So the power in the word in Jesus Christ, remember, he is the living word. He was the word of God that came to life. Amen. Amen. Now we'll go back to last week a moment. And we remember we were speaking about the power of our words. And we talked about mountains. And a lot of times the mountain that we face, when Jesus spoke in Mark 11:23, he said, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him." And again we say, when Jesus says, when we say. Okay, he didn't say when we think or when we read, but when we say. So we know how powerful the words that we have, but we speak them, how much power they carry. And we think about mountains, and what Jesus was doing, he was walking with the disciples, looked up, seeing the big mountain, and he was describing to them what they could do. But we look at our own lives today, and we see mountains. You know, and we're looking at the mountain right now of medical sickness and disease. A lot of us, that is a mountain that you're trying to climb over right now. And we're exercising our voices on how to speak to this mountain. And remember, what we say is very powerful. And I started last week described that, you know, you come in and someone says, "How are you doing?" I'll pick on Joe again. "How you doing, Joe?" "Oh, my back hurts." "Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, Joe, my back hurts too, but my shoulder hurts. Man, I tell you what, the old Satan's after me today." And old Daryl comes along and says, "Oh, my back hurts, my shoulder hurts, my feet hurt. Oh, my, the old Satan's after me today." And I said, "Wait, we need to stop a second. We're giving Satan the credit for our bodies being sore, and sometimes we do it ourselves, right? We pick up stuff we're not supposed to do. But what we do is that we just start talking about our medical conditions, and we just try to outdo one another, you know? Okay, give me a backache and a shoulder ache, and I'll raise you three by a kidney infection, you know? And we just start speaking that. And what God wants us to do, we need to change the way that we speak. If you're going to ask me how I feel, mean it. Mean it. "How you feel today, Jason?" "Oh, that's so good. All right, man." You know what? Because he wants us to be concerned for one another. And I believe that when I ask or you ask, "How do you feel?" you really want to know. And so we should share that. Because we heard testimonies today, there is power in prayer. Amen. Amen. There is power in prayer. And so our thought process, and Carol White, you really did a good job there testifying. Everybody did a good job. But when you said that, I thought maybe too small of a problem, wasn't sure. But I asked Carol to pray for me. You could have went home complaining about it. You could have sat around the table and complained to everybody else about it. But you want to do something about it. And you spoke the Word of God, and Carol prayed with you in the name of Jesus, and he touched your body. And that's what he wants us to do. You know, the conversation, I got front notes and high notes and side notes today, so I'm going to put it all together. But when we speak the Word of God, if you come in and say, "Oh, well, my back, how you doing today, Joe? Oh, my back's hurting today." He's being honest with me. I really want to, "Okay, Joe, let's pray." You know? Well, really what Joe's first thought process would be, "Well, I tell you what, Pastor, my back is really hurting me today. Man, how about praying with me?" The minute he says that, he has just initiated his faith. He just started the first step. He has faith in the Word of God. He has faith that as we pray, that what we pray for will take place. Okay? Now, it's one thing to come in and just, "Oh man, my back hurts today, my feet hurt." And I say, "Well, Joe, want me to pray for you?" "Well, if you want to." You know, it's cool. I mean, I'm going to offer that. But when Joe comes in and he reaches across, say, "Listen, pray for me." He's doing what James says to do. We'll look at James here in a minute. They call the elder of the church and pray. Now we have to remember also, we'll go back to my first comment today. I really believe God gave us doctors to give us good advice. Amen? Okay, now maybe some we can argue about different doctors and stuff. But as a Christian, as I pray for you, or you pray for one another. I always pray, and God, give wisdom to that doctor. You give instructions to that surgeon as he's repairing this body. Lord, just give him guidance. Give him wisdom. I speak that into existence. I believe he'll do that. You take the crummiest surgeon, but as we speak, God can take over them fingers for us. That surgeon might be a Hindu or anything. Okay, nothing to do with Christ. But as we speak and offer that to God, step in, we allow him to enter the situation and take them fingers and use it. Okay? And God give him wisdom. And we don't like to do things very often, do we? How many, don't raise your hand, but how many takes prescription half the time? Instead of the full time, you just take it for half the time because I might need it the next time. Most people do that. Okay? When the doctor says, take this until it's completed, well, I get 3 or 4 days into it. I quit taking it. I feel better now. But did we not pray for the doctor for wisdom? And so we need to yield ourselves to the wisdom of the doctor. Now, if you have a situation that you think is he is speaking to you against the Word of God, then we need to come together, you know, reason with one another and see what's going on here. But as he gives you instructions, we should follow that. And then, otherwise, it's, okay, why are your back hurting today, Starkey? Oh, man, I picked up my engine block last night. Did they quit picking up stuff like that? Well, he did. I can't blame anyone but myself. So I said, Joe, will you pray for me? My stupidity got me in trouble again. And God, forgive me. You gave me instructions. God, you gave me wisdom. And I knew it. Holy Spirit, you spoke to me before I picked it up. Please forgive me for not following you. Joe, lay your hands on me and pray. Boom. All right, thank you, Lord. I'm ready to go on. And next time I'll yield myself, I pray, to the urging of the Holy Spirit. You ever have the Holy Spirit tell you something? Don't do this and you do it anyway. I mean, I'm not saying that you're walking into a gigantic sin, but don't do that and you do it. Oh, man, why did I do that for? Oh. Hey, Daryl, get the keys out of the car before you shut the door. Ah, okay. You get busy, get out, you shut the door. Ah. Boy, this is a new one. Hey, Bob, your dog can't drive to take the keys out of the car, huh, Bob? Our brother Bob came in the other day. He got out of his vehicle, left the keys in it, but he left the dog in the car. And when you got electric locks, dogs can lock a vehicle, so. But I believe the next time the Holy Spirit was like, hey, Bob, you know, cause if it matters to you, no matter how small, how large it is, it matters to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. But he says to speak to this mountain. Speak. And the reason we speak to it, and we speak to it using his word, we found that in Hebrews last week. Remember Hebrews 4:12. And you probably got it already in your notes from last week. But this is very important. He says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Which is awesome, because it will judge the intentions of the heart also. And again, what's great about that is it might come out of your mouth wrong. You might, but God sees the intention of the heart. Okay, you might say it differently than what the Word of God says, but the intent was there. Isn't that beautiful? But he gave us his word as a sword to take against anything that's coming against us. Amen? Maybe even told the disciples, take your sword with you. Okay, we think about a physical sword there, but we took the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen. And we take it and we learn to speak that. Wow. As we learn to speak it more than speaking our own words, you'll find a greater, greater victory in your prayer life. Man, you see things come to pass that you never thought was possible in your carnal mind. Because of speaking the Word of God. When you have a situation in your life that's building that mountain in front of you, look at what it is. Go to the Word of God and say, what does God say about this? What did He say? Or, Pastor, hey, help me out here. I get this mountain and explain it. And we'll go to the Scriptures together and find what the Word of God says. And we'll speak that Word of God out. I know. You see, well, that's a lot of work. Well, it might be. But driving Columbus back and forth several times a week is a lot of work too, right? If you have to go there. We've all been there. Or Cleveland. It's a lot of work. But the Word of God, man, is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll destroy our enemies as we learn to speak that word. What we say we have, he says in Psalm 107, this is recapping, he says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Sent his word, so we know they hear his word of God. We hear that word, we apply it to our life, it brings healing to our body. He brought healing at the cross for us. As we hear the word and follow the word, it helps us maintain that. It helps us stay out of trouble. You know, sickness and disease came into the world because of sin. Amen? It hasn't changed any. Listen. Sin still brings sickness and disease. We have to remember that. At the cross, Christ defeated it. And we're immune from it if we stay under the blood and stay out of sin. Just as this door opened by me or Joe will still be bringing hot air or cool air. Amen? Yes. Same with sin. You know, I don't understand why I feel so bad, Pastor. Well, let's look at our life. You know, when I first said that to God, when I just got born again, and a day later, I said, God, I feel like crap. Oh, man, help me. And at that time, I was putting a big old chaw on my lip. And it was doing me harm. Okay, you might be chewing today. I'm not speaking against chewing. No, I'm just saying to me. He spoke to me. And it took away from me right then. Right then. And now he's doing the same thing. We talking to me about ham fat and cookies and stuff like that. He is. Praise God. You know, Lord, when I get up in the morning, God, well, Starkey, he passed up two cookies yesterday. We think, well, it's funny, but it's what I need to do. I need that discipline again. He disciplines who he loves, yes. And it's great when he makes you feel miserable when you're eating an Opal no-bake cookie. And when I say that, he's bringing to mind, okay, Starkey, one a day is plenty. Okay? Not five. Okay? And so, but what I love about God, that's heavy on my heart right now. Heavy. Because I need my body to line back up with his word. And so he's bringing that to me. And maybe something in your life right now that you're struggling with it that you need to fine-tune. And he's bringing it back to you. So, hey, do this or don't do this. Be blessed. Like you said, he disciplines who he does. He corrects me all the time. It's like you tell a kid, get your fingers out of the cookie jar all the time because too many cookies are not good for you. Well, the Holy Spirit is that right now. He speaks to us. And whatever you're fighting right now, he speaks to you. He'll say, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. You know, as we learn to yield ourselves to him. When you pass up, when I pass up that cookie, the second cookie the first time, I feel pretty good. The next day, just one a day. Isn't that right, Aaron? One a day, you know. And then we got to keep an eyeball on me. Right, you know. But see, you know, it's funny, though, but it encouraged them because they know that I'm trying to eat one a day. And they're mentioning it to me once in a while. Yeah, that's something heavy on my heart. So they're helping me out. And we joke about it. Hey, Pastor, one a day. But really, it reminds me. So if you have a burden, you have something that you're struggling with, if you can find someone that you can share that with, and this isn't very personal about cookies about my belly, okay? It's not really, but you might have something really personal that you're struggling with. Oh, man. You know, well, you need a prayer partner. You need an accountability partner. You need someone you can call up and say, Aaron, listen, Aaron, talk to me. I'm about ready to eat the second cookie today. Speak to me, Aaron. And Aaron, speaking to my spirit. Well, come on, Starkey. You know that you're a temple of God. You know he's going to give you a calling. You got places you got to go. You know you're carrying 65 extra pounds. If you shed that, you can go to places where God will call you maybe in 6 months. You might have to climb a hill and talk to someone. Just Starkey, just put it down. I know it sounds dumb thinking about a cookie, but that's just one thing. It could be G, it could be anything in your life that man you're struggling with. And man, you need a prayer partner. You need someone that you can confide into, that you can speak to, that will pray with you, speak that word of God into. It has to be someone that knows the word of God, okay, or know how to find it, okay? I might call you today and say, oh, man, Bonnie, I need prayer right now. Oh, hang on, preacher. And you look in your Bible. Okay, here's a word for you. Or I remember what the word of God says. You don't have to quote to me the book, the verse, and the chapter. Just the word of God. Just remember what he says. I know somewhere in there it says this. It encourages. But we need to have that accountability partner. We need to have that prayer partner. And that's why it's so awesome. As you guys, you know, we talk about all the time how you come and hear the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You participate in the Word of God. You read the Bible at home. You're getting your weapon strong. And that's the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember we said that? That we're always moving as Christians, and that Word of God will direct us away from the area that we should be at. know, sometimes you have a mountain you need to move, but a lot of times you just need to move from the mountain too. Think about that. You have a mountain and it's blocking you. Well, maybe you need to just walk away from the mountain. Get your eyes on something different. Maybe it's not really a mountain after all. Maybe it's a stop sign from God. And we think, man, if I just get through this mountain, if I just get through this here, huh? Well, maybe God's saying no. Then you need to turn away, turn around. This isn't for you to come through. This is someone else's path. You know, if me and Bob both got walking in the woods today hunting mushrooms, we might come to a fork in the road there. Ah, Bob, let's go left. Mushrooms. No, let's go right. Well, we might decide to go different ways. But the path, if we allow the Word of God to direct that path of ours, we'll end up in the same place. We just chose you to go a different way than when I go. But it's all through the Word of God. And don't get the point, so that's what you believe. I believe this. Always look at the Word of God. Amen? What I believe will not get you to heaven. What I think will not get you to heaven. But the Word of God says will. Amen? Amen. And now, I do believe in the Word of God. I do think about the Word of God. But again, too many times we try to fine-tune things. We take the Word of God and try to fit it into our lifestyle. We need to take our lives and fit it into God's Word. That's the best way to be corrected. Amen? Amen. And actually, this week, we read Deuteronomy 28. It says, "Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments." Again, He's speaking to us. This mountain is in your life now. He gives us all the stuff we need in order to overcome this mountain. But the first thing is to listen and obey His Word. Right. God loves you, right? My first sermon I ever preached was God is love. And He's still love today. He gave us His Word. He loved us so much, He gave us an instruction manual called the Word of God. And we apply it to our life. Man, we will have a walk with Him. That'll be awesome. I'll have some trials, but we know we're walking where He wants us to go. Amen? Amen? But when we want to go through this mountain and God says, okay, this is how you do it, we want to argue with God or disobey God, it's not going to work. Amen? That's in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. You know, Proverbs 3, 1 and 8. I believe this is where I left off last week. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 8. You got your notes there, hon, from last week? Yep. Ah. Okay. You don't get any recess today. Proverbs 3, 1 and 8. This is another verse. Let it encourage you when you're starting to fall into temptation. When you're starting to compromise the Word of God in your own life. God tells us, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Wow. Do not forget my teaching, He's telling us right now. But let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life. He's saying, I'll give you a long life. You have a peaceful long life. If you will not forget my teachings and follow my commandments. That's pretty, I mean, God's the creator. He said, okay, this is what you guys need to do. This is what we need to do. If you do this here, man, we're blessed. He didn't say compromise at all, did He? He didn't say water down my words, did He? He didn't say, well, you know, later on in life, change the commandments if you want to. Adapt, you know. He said, this thing's coming called political correctness. So maybe in 2,000 years, you have to change my commandments a little bit to fit in the political correctness. He didn't say that. He said, this is it. He didn't say, well, let's make a deal. He said, this is the deal. This is it right here. You know, follow this. Listen to my word. Yield yourself to my word. Turn away from wickedness. Turn away from lies and deceitfulness. Quit lying to one another. Quit stealing from one another. Be honest in everything that you do. Follow my commandments, He says. And people will argue all the time, well, the commandments were thrown out the window when Jesus rose up from the grave because now we're under grace. I hear it all the time. The commandments are still there. The grace is you're not put to death when you break one of them. That we repent from it. Amen? Isn't that awesome? That's the grace. You know, all the sacrificial laws was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. There's not one more sacrifice for sin. Amen? He's it. He's it. So since there's no other sacrifice for sin, which we say amen to, that means also if you're waiting for a better deal than what we have today, it's not going to come. Okay? It won't happen. It's what we have today. This is it. And he says this is an everlasting covenant. It'll never change. We won't find any loopholes. You know, we're always trying to find loopholes and stuff, aren't we? You know, but well, in the Word of God, there's no loopholes. Praise God, it's black and it's white. Easy to understand. If you follow me, he says, you'll be blessed. If you turn away from me, you'll be cursed. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty simple. He says also in verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your head. Ooh, kindness and what? Truth. Listen to what the Word of God says today. Truth. Truth never changes. Truth, you never compromise. Truth, you never surrender. Listen to what the Word of God says today to us. We are so used to compromising truth. We call it a white lie. Don't. Do not compromise. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. Please, don't ever find yourself where you're going to compromise the truth to gain anything. Because when you do, you're lying. Now you're deceiving. Now you're a thief. I don't care if you're filling out a government form and just mark one little box, you get more money and more food. Don't do it, God says. Because that is not the truth. That's a lie. Now you're a thief and you're a liar. You're deceiving. And what do they say? Those who practice such things shall not see the kingdom of God. I know it's hard at times. You think, oh, preacher, if I just mark one little box, then man, I'll qualify for more of this. But it's not the truth. You have to, amen, sister, trust that God will take care of you. We got to learn that trust that God will take care of you. I tell you, when he sees you stand up for the truth, is okay? I've even heard people go where they tell you, go back outside and change this paper and bring it back in, and I can give you more money, I'll give you more food. Okay? And if you're sitting there like this with the cross of Christ to remind me that he died for my sins, and I go outside and come back in. Oh, here we go, Joe. I got it changed. Well, I just sold out Jesus, did I not? I just said, God, you created me. You made everything in the world. But God, I don't think you can take care of me without my United States government. Is that not a lie? Did he not tell us in Philippians 4:19? God will provide all your needs, the rich and glory of Christ Jesus, as we surrender all to him. You know, these are awesome scriptures, but we gotta look. We just can't go over past them. He says truth. Truth. And the main truth is Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. We follow the Word. You'll find times that truth will get you in trouble. It will. You speak the truth, and it will get you into trouble. Because you have to admit to something that you did that you wish you never did, but you still got to admit to. Well, listen. I already asked God to forgive me. So he did. Now, the preacher says that when you repent from your sins, you have the righteousness of Christ. Amen? You have the righteousness of Christ in your justification, right? Just as if I never sinned. Well, if God will throw my sins into the sea of forgiveness, never remember them, if he can do that, just like I never sinned, I don't have to admit to it, do I? See what we're saying? We will try to wash it down. Then the next thing we know, we're standing up, we're lying. We're lying about a sin that God forgave us from, we repented from, but now we just sinned again because we lied about the sin we've been forgiven about. The truth is the truth. And if you find yourself, when you speak the truth and you know that you know you're going to be in trouble, speak it. God is with you. Yeah, I've had several occasions in my life in law enforcement where I could have not spoke the truth and had different outcomes in jury trials. But I choose to stand there and speak. The truth is the truth. Amen. As a law enforcement officer, I wasn't out there to hang anybody. I was out there to present the truth. And if the jury saw it, that man, they were guilty, they're guilty. If they're innocent, my job is just bring the truth. That's what you paid me for. Be truthful and do that. But a lot of times I could have twisted something and got a conviction. I wasn't for a conviction. I was for the truth. Because the same person on trial was paying my wages too. Just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. But people, they're what you think. And they come to you and they try to get you to twist things around. Well, you know he's not guilty of this, but he's got to be guilty of something. No, the truth is the truth. And we got to know that. When people see you as a born-again Christian, and they say, well, listen, if you want to, we can compromise the truth and just change a couple numbers on this form. And you say, well, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and he says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. And I don't need any racking up any points against my Lord. Wow, and you walk out of there. You might be going there, you're starving to death. You walk in there, and you could twist the Word of God, or not the Word of God, you could twist things enough to walk out of there with 300 pounds of prime rib. But you refuse to do so, because it's a lie. And you walk out, boy, I ain't getting no food. And you walk out there, and next thing you know, boom. Here comes a truck pulling up. Hey, I got 600 pounds of T-bone steak. You want them? God has a way of doing things like that. But only if we're true to Him. How many times have we stepped on His promises that He wanted to give us? At the last second, we surrender the truth and we fall back. And man, we stop the hand of God. We have learned that truth is truth and not to ever compromise. 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Again, your favorite verse, based on Thursday night Bible studies. It will be healing to your body. Because you know, when you do something wrong, when you're stealing, lying, cheating, all that kind of good stuff, it makes you nervous. Amen? It should make you nervous. Waiting to get caught. And that comes and attacks your immune system. It wears you down. You know, anxiety can destroy your body. It can. Worrying can destroy your body. But as you follow the Word of God, allow it to be number one in your life, it actually brings healing to your body. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now, to read that there, it's attaching my prosperity, my way of life, to my soul also. As the Word of God comes into my life, as my soul prospers, as it gets strengthened, as it encouraged to the Word of God, it also brings healing to the physical body of mine. Again, the Word is what? The Word is Jesus Christ. Amen? Whether you're hanging on the cross, or you're speaking it, or you're reading it, that's the completeness of Jesus. Proverbs 16:24. I'll get through these kind of quickly. I know we're running late. It says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Hear me? Healing to the bones. Again, this is the Word of God. So when you speak nice words, it brings healing to the bones. Now I see it both ways. Because the Word of God tells me, whatever I sow, I'll reap. Amen? Amen. Oh, honey, you look good today.
Thank you.
Look nice, you know.
You
well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, boy, you're cheerful this morning. Your eyes are sparkling. I know you had no sleep last night, but you just really encouraged me. You know, God bless you for that. Well, I'm speaking truth into her. Those are words of, I'm not lying to her. Those are words of encouragement. And it brings healing to her body. Also to mine. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let's reverse that. How many times do we reverse that in our life? Joe, I'll tell you, look at you today. I'll tell you, my lens. I told you to wear big overalls today and wear your gum boots in here and stuff. You know, wear that for church. And nothing wrong with it. Look what you're wearing today. I can speak to you and get you so discouraged right now. You'd be so embarrassed in front of the people. I'm not saying you would, but you know, I could really make you go shrink down. And you can start getting sick in your stomach. Man, why did you pick up? Amen?
Amen.
That can happen. The words that we speak. So, by the word of God, then, as I do that to you, it's going to come back on me. So, if I know if I speak discouraging words to people, I'm not saying not speaking the truth, but in a discouraging way, just as make them feel small, it's going to come back on me. But if I speak honeycombs, if I always find something good to say about someone, I'm sowing that in my own vineyard. And you're the same way. Again, it goes back to renewing our mind. What we speak has a lot of power behind that. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And Hebrews 13:8 tells you today, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and yes, forever. He hasn't changed any. He's still doing the same, but he's doing it through us today. Remember, he handed it down to the church through his blood and through the Holy Spirit, through his name, that we can proclaim as he did. Not that we are God, but he works through us. And Jesus has not stopped healing today. It comes through the same word. The word that he's shared with us is the word that we follow. We can expect the same results. Mark 5:34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." We see now he's speaking about faith. He's saying your faith. Now we got truth. Now we have faith. He's saying your faith had made you well. In Mark 10:52, for those writing it down, I got a couple more to give you and we'll close. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." So in those two chapters right there, two verses, he's speaking to women and he's speaking to men. So faith covers both boundaries, okay? He says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Now, we know that in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. How do you build your faith? By hearing. Hearing the word of God. Why do you want to build your faith? Because he said, "By your faith, let it be." Again, we go back to ourselves. You know, everything is given to us. It's for us to implement it. When we have this mountain that you want moved, how bad do you really want it moved? Do we want to move the mountain, or do we enjoy more sitting around talking about the mountain, like we said earlier? Sometimes our biggest thrill is, let's talk about this mountain that you're overlooking right now, that you're trying to get past, this mountain that's in your life. You know, we sit there and we compare mountains. We need to start speaking to that mountain. But he's saying, this is yours. This is your word, God given to us. You apply it to your life. Use it in your life. And allow it to move the mountains for you. We can't wish our mountains away. We can come together and intercede for one another to move those mountains. But wishing them all, I wish things would be better. Speak things to be better. Amen. But it all starts with a relationship of God through His Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Without Him, we have nothing. Not nothing. You don't. The Bible, the Word of God, is given to us to give us direction. It's for us to use. Matthew 9:28. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "Be it done to you according to your pocketbook, to your faith." So just today, coming in here, hearing the word of God, it is building your faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You'll leave here today strong before you come in. In James 5:14, we shared this earlier, he tells this to the believers, to the followers of Jesus Christ. He says, "Anyone among you, are you sick?" And he's talking to the body of believers. "Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Wow, there again. Look how much sin is intertwined with sickness and disease. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective prayer of a man right standing with God can accomplish much. And we're right standing with God as we are repentant of our sins. Amen. So this mountain we looked at today was the mountain of Medical Mountain. And more, there's a lot more verses in the Bible that you look at. But you come and you take that and you speak that word. You follow that word. Your physical, your carnal body wants to tell you, well, how can it make any difference? You know, can it make a difference? Word of God can make a difference in your life, right? Made a difference in my life. Okay? So we go back to the original table. We're all sitting around complaining about ourselves. But what we need to do is say, wait, oh, you don't feel good today? Well, come here, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak healing to this body. That from the cross of Calvary, he brought healing to my body. He died for my sins. Greater he that's in me than he that's in the world. By his stripes, I am healed. He sent his word to heal me. I follow that word. Amen. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I am the head and not the tail. This is a temple where God dwells in. Where God dwells, that sickness, disease is not permitted there. That in the name of Jesus Christ be healed, we rebuke the spirit of infirmities. That's what should be going around these tables here. When someone comes out, I don't feel good. Yeah, speak the word, guys. Listen, speak the word. Don't complain about it. Speak the word. Man, please. And you don't have to tell God what the problem is when you pray. Listen to me. This is one thing, and I'll shout out to this. Don't come up and say, oh God, you know my back's... He already knows. He says he knows what you need before you know it. So speaking, you had to explain nothing to him. He already knows it. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, you can talk to God. I know my back's hurting, you know, my head hurts today. I got this disease. They say I got cancer, but I know that your word is over cancer. But your stripes, you brought healing to my body. I just speak and I have healing in the name of Jesus Christ in my body. A lot of times when we pray, all I hear is people complaining and saying, God, heal me. God, please heal them. He's already sent healing. Get us through our minds. He already sent healing to us. We have to receive it. We have to declare it. We have to speak it. Because when you say, God, heal me, he says, I already healed the whole world by Christ. Yeah. Receive that. And the receiving part is the hardest part because to receive something, we got to... We have to turn from our wicked ways. Amen? We got to turn away from it. It's like saying, oh my lands. Man, this fire is hot. This fire is hot. My hand's in the fire. What would you tell me to do?
Get your hand out of the fire.
All right. But if I don't, I leave it right there. Oh, my hand is hot. What more can you do for me? You spoke it to me. I have to do that. It's the same way with God. God wants our vessels to be strong to continue on what He's told us to do. Go and preach the gospel. Every one of us has been told to go and share the gospel. Okay? But let's not concentrate so much on our physical needs and forget about the spiritual calling that we have. Okay? Don't let... The Bible says to pray for one another. We have healing through the cross of Jesus Christ. But let's not forget the calling He gave us. Our medical issues today won't mean nothing tomorrow if we're raptured this evening. Amen? And a lot of times, we put things off till tomorrow, next day. Don't. Enjoy the day God's given us today. I enjoy this day right now. We're in fellowship together. Man, I heard testimony of the Lord today, how He's moving, what you guys are doing for the Lord. Not guaranteed to be here tomorrow, but I'm guaranteed to be my Lord and Savior for eternity because of Jesus Christ. Again, we have to look at how we pray. We pray out, God, save my son, save my daughter. He said, listen, He has saved everyone at the cross. The prayer is, God, help me reach out to my son that he'll receive a salvation that came from Christ. You know, help me remove these stumbling blocks. Show me, Lord, what are the stumbling blocks of my loved ones that's keeping them from you? If it's a spirit of religion that they have, man, we start praying in that spirit of religion. It's a hindering spirit. We look in that. That's how we pray against it. Our words have power. Amen. Watch how we speak them. All this starts with relationship with God. And I just move upon your hearts this morning if you're here and you've been listening to the Word of God. You know through the Holy Spirit, He's touching today. You know this Word is true. But you don't have that relationship with God. You still have that sin in your life. You never surrendered your life to the Lord. You never received that gift of salvation. I tell you, today is a good day to do that because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I ask you, if you have a desire to know more about the Lord, if you have a desire to receive Him as your Savior, Lord, that's a service day. I want you to come and talk to me. I want to share with you. I want to talk to you one-on-one. Because it's a great decision to make. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make in your life and for all eternity. Is allowing Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. Again, I just caution you that we don't get to heaven by how many times we sit in a chair in church. It's surrendering our lives to Jesus. You know, the thief on the cross never made it to church, never got baptized, never gave any money in the collection, never took communion, but he acknowledged Jesus Christ that day he was in heaven. It's awesome to be here longer once you get saved and be able to do some work for the Lord. So anyway, I just invite you today during the lunch to get a hold of me. We'll sit down and talk, and I'll share more about the Lord and it's your decision to make. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your word to us. And Father, we leave here today. I just ask that this word would be embedded into our hearts today. I just speak against the evil one trying to come to kill, steal, and destroy this word, the seed that you planted, God. They are words of encouragement. They are truth. And we walk in the truth as we follow the Lord. And our desire is to please you in all that we do, Lord. And Father, to you be the glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, and may He be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. And may His hand be upon you daily. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide you. May the wisdom and the truth of the Lord continue to grow in you. And may your lips proclaim that to wherever you're at. And may your mind be focused on that by His stripes we are healed, healing to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.